And so, stay with that. I think this may be, unless the Holy Spirit says different, we're going to stay with that. But today we're going to use subtopic, All Dads Matter. All Dads Matter. I'm going to do my best to give you some insights. I had to censor myself several times in my preparation. You would understand this. You're in Bible college. You understand this. I had to censor myself several times in my preparation because the temptation was for me to chase a few rabbits. And I want to avoid chasing rabbits this morning. I want to stay focused so that I can give you what the Lord has given us to give you. Our principal text is coming from Genesis 18, verse 19. This is God talking about Abraham. He says, "For I have chosen him so that he may," what's that word?
Command.
"So that he may" what?
Command
his children and, not just his children, command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what?
Righteousness
and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. So God has given Abraham a promise, but in order for Abraham to get the promise, Abraham has a very important thing that he must do. He must command his household. He must command his children. And what does that word command really mean, and how does it look? Because sometimes people get really offended by words. The word command almost sounds kind of dictatorish, tyranty, if I can say that. Sound a little tyrant-ish, but what God is saying here is that I can trust Abraham to set his house in order, to have an order about his house that glorifies me and causes me to be able to do for him the thing that I want to do for him. What I want to submit to you, let me give you some statistics. I didn't write these down. I've just been reading about this stuff so long, I think I can cite them from memory. I think it was around 1960, 1964, they did a census, and it said that in America, it's talking about the country, that there were 80% of the homes were two-parent homes. Which means that there was a dad in 80% of the homes. Okay? Now, if you watch the TV programs from the 60s, you had shows like Leave It to Beaver, right? You had shows like My Three Sons, right? These are shows that had family affairs. These are shows that had strong father role models in the home. And the country was actually, through the media, encouraging strong father presence in the home. Right? As we move forward in TV history, I've been watching TV for a while now. As we move forward in TV history, the father became kind of the buffoon. He became the butt of every joke. Everybody was smarter than dad. Mom was smarter than dad. The kids were smarter than dad. Everybody in the house was smarter than dad. So why has there been this effort to diminish the role of the father? Well, I'm a person that believes that any time this type of effort is put into anything, it's not so much about men as it is about God. That God has set a pattern. He has said, God literally has said, here's how this is going to work. I'm going to establish this, and I'm going to make sure, I'm going to give them a clear-cut view. This is how it's supposed to work. Now notice how, as unwed motherhood grew in the country. They say right now, across the board, we're just talking across the board, we're not talking about any particular segment of society, across the board, we are right now at about a 40% fatherlessness rate, 40% across the board, no matter white, black, red, blue, green, 40%. Now, we were at 80% of fathers in the home in the 60s. Right? We're at 40% fatherlessness in the 20s. Alright? So what's taking place? Well, there's been this progression. There's been this progression, and the progression went something like this. It went, I don't necessarily want a man. No, I don't need a man. I don't need a man. Then it went to, I can do it by myself. Then it went to, now I don't want a man. So you went from, I don't need one, to I don't want one. And see, what you have to understand is that in God's design, God designed it so each child needs something from both parents. Right. That there's some things, there's some great mothers. I think they're wonderful. I think they do a great job. But listen, especially if you got sons, there are things your son needs that you just cannot relate to. There are some things my daughter needs that I'm so glad she was able to go to her mother and not to come to me with that. I don't want to talk about that with you. I don't want to even see you that way. See what I'm saying? And so there are some uniqueness, and what we have done in our culture is we stripped away the uniqueness that of God's design that says that, that men have something to offer children that they can't get anywhere else. Are you hearing me? So God says to Abraham, he says, I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household. Let's talk about what it means to command your household, because see, Abraham's household wasn't just his wife and his kids. Abraham's household was everybody who was depending on him. All those servants he had, all that stuff he had. He said he's going to make everything he has come into alignment with my will. I can remember when my children were younger, and every now and then they would come to me and they wanted to do something. And, you know, if they kind of thought they had an inkling that I was going to say no, their defense was, because I always made them explain themselves. I always made them give me the reason for what they wanted. And so sometimes their reasoning was, well, Tommy's daddy said it's okay for him. And I would say, well, what's Tommy's last name? Jones. What's your last name? Spencer. Well, I can only tell you what the Spencers ain't gonna do. So now you got a choice. You can change your last name to Jones and go ask Mr. Jones if you can live down there. But everybody lives here gonna do it this way. Are you hearing me? Because I understood that I had to have some clear-cut standards, some clear-cut rules, so that they would understand what the expectation was. There's that word again. Expectation. God has an expectation of how his people will conduct themselves in the world. This is why we can't sign on to everything. Even though it sounds good and it sounds like I should be able to get with it, I don't necessarily have a series picked out for July right now. So July is just going to be Pastor Vent Month. I'm just going to pick stuff that I need to talk about. Y'all just, you know, because there's some stuff that, you know, that people are signing on to. And what I'm seeing in our society right now, all of this stuff where people are rioting and looting, all of this stuff is because of the commanding presence that is not present in the home.
Right.
Are you hearing me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good.
My kids, when they were little, they were real little. Probably Charmaine was maybe 3 or 4, which means he was 5 or 6. And they would get to playing and doing their thing, you know. And we always encouraged them. You know, our kids were very active. We encouraged them to be active. We didn't let them sit in the house. Go outside. Get out there and do something, you know. And so we let them go outside to play. And in the summertime, you know, we turn the lights on outside. Y'all stay outside as long as you want to. No, just stay out there. We're just happy with you out there. So, but they were about 3 or 4. We were living in an apartment, and they would get to playing in the floor, and sometimes they get a little loud. They start getting loud. And so I'm in the other room, and this is what it sounded like to me. I'm just telling y'all what it sounded like to me. Hee hee hee. Ah! Ooh! Y'all be quiet! Hee hee hee. Ah! Ooh, yes, I can. Y'all be quiet. And this will go on for 15, 20 minutes. Finally, after I heard enough of y'all be quiet, ha ha, ooh, ooh, I would just walk to the door and stick my head around the corner and go, hey. Now, what's the difference? Both parents, both have influence, both are in the home. The one parent said, y'all be quiet. They get quiet for a few minutes, they go right back to what they're doing. She said it again, y'all be quiet. All I said was, hey. And there was silence in heaven. Why? What's the difference? The commanding tone of the voice. Now, what I'm trying to get you to see is that because we have lost the commanding voice in the home, that now we have a society that does not respond to a commanding voice anywhere.
Right.
Are y'all hearing me? And so we've got this madness where nobody can set things in order because these people are running amok. All in the name of protest. So let me give you this before I move to my first point. So I told you that the national average is about 40% for fatherlessness in America. That means out of 100 families, you know, forty of them have no father in the home. Okay? Right? That number in the 60s, the number in African American homes actually closely mirrored the number in America, that there was nearly 80% of African American homes had a father in the home. What do you think that number is today? So if 80% in the late 50s, early 60s, 80% of the homes had a father in the African American community, that means there was only 20% of the kids who didn't have a father in the home.
Right.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
So now, what do you think it is today?
Reverse.
Excuse me?
The reverse.
What'd you say?
The reverse.
The reverse, exactly. Nearly 80% African-American homes, one parent home. So we have a whole generation. Now I told you all, I had a basketball program, and most of the boys in my program didn't have a father. And I didn't realize until I started engaging with them how much this really helped change how they would deal with me. That when my voice got a little authoritative, they would almost be shaking in their boots. A couple of them told me, they said, you're going to hurt us. I said, why would I hurt you? They weren't used to the tenor, the commanding presence. Are you hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. Point number one. Fathers are called to command their household. Fathers are called. It's a call from God. Now, we're talking about believing fathers, okay? The same command God gives to Abraham is the command for all of us. Command your household after you, all right? Now, listen, the command in your household has to do with teaching them righteous and what? Justice. Has to do with teaching them righteousness and justice. Our principal text is the text for this point also. He says, for I have chosen him, verse 19, that he may, and I italicize this so you can see it, command his children and his household after him and keep the way of the Lord by doing
righteousness
and justice. So what am I saying? We've got all these people running out here that are talking about how they want to do justice, but they're not doing righteousness. And you can't have justice without righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is doing things the right way because it's supposed to be done the right way.
Yeah.
I don't need a reason. It's just the right way to do it. So if I'm trying to achieve justice, I can't achieve justice by violating people's freedoms. I can't achieve justice by looting people's property. I can't achieve justice by burning up people's stuff. Because my version of justice has no righteousness in it.
Yeah.
And so God makes it clear that we, that as fathers, we're supposed to teach our children how to do righteousness and justice. Somebody was saying to me on this week, they said, the big problem is they keep lumping the protesters in with the rioters. I said, yeah, that's a problem. I said, but that's a problem the protesters need to address.
Right.
I said, once they start rioting, my protest is over.
Right.
I got to get out of here.
Because
yeah. I'm not going to in any way be associated with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Now, if you go back and study the time of Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement, they actually had classes to teach people how to peacefully resist. They had classes where they sat on there and yelled some of the stuff that was going to be yelled at them and told them how they had to keep their composure. Because, see, the whole idea was to show the evil that was being perpetrated on this group of people so that the world could see this isn't right.
Yeah.
But when you go out there calling yourself protesting and folks start burning stuff and tearing up stuff, guess what? Your protest just lost all of its justice. It's lost all of its sand.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that they're acting this way because they had no one to teach them righteousness and justice. You have to understand what righteousness is. Righteousness, like I said, is doing the right thing just because it's the right thing to do. I did something for somebody this week. They said, you didn't have to do that. I said, yeah, I did. It was the right thing to do. I don't need any other reason. I don't need God to speak from heaven. It's the right thing to do. And when you do things that are the right thing to do in your effort to achieve justice, guess what? People will trust you. Now, let me just tell you, that don't mean they're always going to like you. I know we celebrate Dr. King now, but if somebody finally told the truth, I was watching a special last week, somebody finally told the truth that in his lifetime, he wasn't all that celebrated. I'm just celebrating. So fathers are called to command their household. You're trying to command your household and teach people how to do righteousness and justice. Just so you're going to be a little unpopular.
Right.
Because people don't like it when you have a stand. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So I wanted to give you some examples of some of the bad dads of the Bible. I just picked a few. There were a lot more than this, but I picked a few. I want you to see what happened. Alright? The first one I picked was Isaac. Isaac's problem was he played favorites with his children, favoring Esau over Jacob, while his wife Rebecca favored Jacob over Esau. He played favorites. So now here's what this did. This released a sibling rivalry that led to murder. They wanted to kill each other. Esau literally told him, when I see you, gonna be some furniture moving up in here, Jack. We gonna make something happen. His own brother. All because the parents didn't know how to love them. See, the other part about commanding your household is about knowing what each child needs. See, my daughter needed something from me. My son didn't need. My son needed something from me. My daughter didn't need. And there's nothing more infuriating for me than for the two of them to try to compare their relationship with me. Because the relationships are unique based on the needs of those people. Are you hearing? Doesn't mean I love one more than the other. It just means they have different needs. Granddaddy Omar, Eli. Bible says Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were called worthless men. That's what God called them, worthless men, who did not know the Lord, yet they served as priests. Now let me tell you how jacked up these dudes were. Their father was the high priest. These cats were so vile that they not only were having sex with the women, they didn't even try to hide it. They were having it in the gate of the city. They just doing whatever they wanted to do. They were literally taking the whole offering. When people would come to make sacrifice, oh, that ain't good. That ain't for God. That's for me. Now, here is the problem. Well, let me not jump ahead. Go to the next one. My last one. Adonijah. Adonijah was one of David's sons. He laid claim to David's kingdom when David was on his deathbed. And 1 Kings 1:6 it says, David had not rebuked Adonijah at any time. What I'm submitting to you is that, especially in these last two cases, the problem was that the father didn't rebuke the children. The father didn't command or correct their children. And so when the father doesn't lay out the command of the Lord, doesn't teach the child what righteousness is, how can you expect the child to know what righteousness is? I was reading an article on last night as I was preparing for this, and the article talked about the difference between how mothers discipline and fathers discipline. They said, now this is what the article said, don't get mad at me, don't start throwing stuff at your TV, don't do that, at your computer. Don't get mad at me. This is what the article said. It said, mothers have a tendency to be more sympathetic and empathetic.
That's true.
Now I'm gonna tell y'all something. I'm glad my mother's in heaven. She ain't here to hear this. Bless you. I played on my mother's sympathy so much. I would. My mother would tell me, you grounded for 3 weeks. So the first thing I would do, if I'm trying to get that to back down, so the first thing I would do is I would cook dinner. I'd cook dinner. And she said, oh, you're so sweet, you cook dinner. I said, okay, I'm only going to make you stay on punishment for 2 weeks. Then I would clean her bedroom and her bathroom. Oh, you clean my bedroom and my bathroom. All right, it's been only 1 week. Only 1 week. Then I give her 3 days of the sad face.
Yeah.
All right, you done. You go. You learned your lesson. My dad, brother man wouldn't fall in for none of that. If that dude said, now my dad, he didn't do the punishment thing a whole lot. When he did, it was like outrageous. He was like a jailer. 30 days. And he didn't care how sad you looked. He didn't care what you did. I told you 30 days. 30 days is up on this day. Don't come and ask me about it. Nothing. Different discipline styles. I got to stop. Where am I at? Next point. Without the benefit of father's presence in the home, the children run wild. Without the benefit of the father's presence in the home, the children run wild. Without somebody there teaching them. Now, one of the things I tell people, especially people who have sons, I tell them, I say, listen to me. In every boy, there's a wild man. And you got sons, right? Okay. And you know, the relationship between a father and a son is a special bond. Because it really is a relationship between an old lion and a young lion. I'm just telling you, if you ever want to see the relationship between a father and a son, go on Nat Geo when they have a big cat week and watch lions. Okay? Because when the male lion cub is just a cub, he's just a baby, he can jump on his father. The father land, they jump all over me. You know, and then when he get tired, he just kind of shake him off a little bit, let him know he needs some space. But he puts up with so much from him until he, you know, he's just, they're his children. But let them start to mature. Let them start to become, especially teenagers. Now, father starts looking at them a whole lot differently. Well, you want to be a man now, huh? When that young male lion tries that old lion lets him know, you don't want to come up against this. You don't want to do that. I know I look old, There's still a whole lot of fight in this one. Let you know. And you'll see them, they'll bump heads, and the young male lion, he'll turn on his back and surrender. I see now. I see. Those are real muscles. I see. But then after a while, guess what? The young lion has a desire to breathe. The father says, either you leave or I kill you. Those are your choices. Literally, I'm just telling you. He literally says, either you leave here, go get your own, or I'm going to kill you. Well, what I'm submitting to you is that in every child, especially the boys, there is this untamed wildness that has to be harnessed, it has to be nurtured, it has to be developed, because if not, they're going to go out of here and do something crazy. Mm-hmm. Oh, listen, when you hear these guys, they joining gangs and they shooting up stuff, guess what? It's because they didn't have anybody to tell them how to deal with what was going on inside of them.
Yeah.
They didn't have anybody tell them, here's how a man deals with it. See, a man knows, a mature man, a man who's been properly fathered, properly developed, I know I can't do the first thing that pops in my mind. I know that. Because the first thing that pops in my mind may not be all that same. Telling you, it may not be all that good. And it may create disastrous results for me and for everybody around me. But see, you have to have an older man. You have to be able to watch how the older man deals with those same stresses so that you know how to conduct yourself. I was online this week, and one of my friends posted something, and it was about this whole riots and all this. And I responded to his post, told him it was an excellent post. I thought it was well thought out. I said, but it really is time for some action to be taken to stop all this. Now, this one was stop. And some lady that I don't know comes on there and says, calls me by name. Tells me, Everett Spencer, you need to just sit your black so-and-so down while people out here fighting for the rights you don't even know you need.
I'm glad.
So
put me in, coach.
My thumbs started, you know, and I had to repeat my own thumbs. Stop it. Because I realized that nothing I say is going to do any good here. Are you hearing me?
Yep.
So I'm just going to tell y'all what I would have said. I'm going to tell y'all what I would have said. I would have told her, first of all, I don't need anybody to fight for me. See, I've been the vocal one. In my career, wherever I saw injustice, I've always been the vocal one. I've always been the one to stand up. Right? As it concerns my personal life, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm pretty good. Been married to the same woman 35 years. Was in the home for my kids the whole time. Both of them got to college. Both of them doing pretty good. So, you know, instead of cursing me out, might want to be trying to look for this model. Just saying.
Right.
Just saying. So, here's what the scripture says. Scripture says in Proverbs, it says, where there is no vision, the people are, what's that word?
Unrestrained.
They're unrestrained. It means they're wild. They're buck wild. Now let me help you understand something. The other part of commanding your household is putting vision in your children. Mm-hmm. Helping them to know who they are, how God sees them in the world, so that they can accomplish the thing God wants them to accomplish.
Yeah.
And see, when children have not received this, then they have no vision, and they're out just, you know who's most susceptible to peer pressure? Kids with no vision. Kids that have vision aren't as susceptible to peer pressure. 2 Scripture, Judges 17:6, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. When there's no commanding presence, people don't know how to act. They don't know what's right. We just don't do what we want to do. This is what I think is right. This is what I think is right. Don't burn this sucker down. Now, help me understand something. How I get the frustration. I do. I get the frustration. I really do. I really do. I get the frustration. But how does burning down my stuff make things better?
It does.
I'm so mad at you. I'm going to go out here and set my car on fire. That just don't make sense to me. It don't make sense. And I'm wondering, but see, when you don't, listen, my father, and this is why I did with my children what I did. My father told us, he said, you have to remember something. The world belongs to thinkers. And don't get me wrong, this is the same dude who took me in the backyard and taught me how to fight. He literally put some boxing gloves on me and taught me, I don't want you ever to run from a fight. Just know if you run from a fight, you run into one. Because when you get here, I'm going to whoop your tail. And he would literally put on those boxing gloves and show me how to throw a jab properly. Because he wanted me to know how to fight. But guess what he told me? He said, son, now that you know how to fight, I want you to understand fighting is always your last resort. He said, because the world belongs to things. You're going to have to be a great thinker. And so whenever he asks us a question, we weren't allowed to say, I don't know. I don't know is an idiot's answer to my dad. Why did you do that? I don't know. What you mean? You actually did something that you don't know why you did it?
Right.
He would literally say to us, what kind of a fool are you? You actually did something and you can't explain why you did it. Because he was trying to provoke us to be thinkers. Last point. Healthy father relationships help us see God as Father. You want to know why there's such a disconnect between God and people? Because as fatherlessness has risen, the understanding of the role of the father has diminished. Fatherhood is something you have to experience. I'm telling y'all, now they got some books out here, but there's nothing like firsthand experience.
Yeah.
They got some books that might be able to help you tell you, give you some good pointers. But you still gonna have to, you ever heard somebody dating, they don't have a child, never babysat a child, don't have no God children, and then they want to try to tell you how to rear your children. They got so much, but I read so-and-so's book. And I read, okay, well, here, take these three. Let's see. Now, remember, you can't use nothing but what's in the book now. It's a relationship that you only learn from experience. Now, if a person has not experienced the active relationship of father-son, father-daughter, why did I say active? Because there is such thing as the absentee father in the home.
Yeah.
He's just there. He's not doing anything. He's not modeling anything. He's just taking up space and air. Okay? I'm talking about the father who's doing everything they can to be a godly father, to be a good father. The real goal of that father is to exemplify Christ. I'm talking about the believing father now, to exemplify Christ to his children. So that even when he corrects his children, he corrects them the way God corrects them. Now, just so y'all know, all of those of you that are against corporal punishment, God has a belt that he uses.
Okay.
The Bible says, whom he loves, he chastises with many stripes. Means he whoops your behind. There's a very thin line between correction and abuse.
Yeah.
Very thin line. But let me submit to you, there's also a thin line between love and abuse.
Yeah.
That you can be abusive to your child and never lay hands on them. Simply because you didn't do what you were supposed to do in teaching them righteousness and justice.
That's good.
Simply because you use the moral code of your own versus God's moral code to teach your children how to determine what is right and wrong. See, this happens all over America in the hood. Son gets to be 12, 13, 14 years old. Family's struggling. And all of a sudden, he starts bringing hundreds of thousands of dollars home. Mama don't ever ask where the money come from. Like, you don't know. He ain't got no job. Son coming home with a brand new PlayStation. Still got the anti-theft tag on. He's so resourceful. No, he's not resourceful. He's a thief. Let me show you something. This is 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Says the Lord Almighty. So, how can I see God as father if I've never had an example of what a father is? When I first decided to pastor and decided to, you know, try to get into full-time ministry, I was in Columbus, Ohio, where my dad lives, and I told him, he said, man, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going to be preaching for so-and-so while I'm here. He said, when? So I told him, and so I look up, and my dad and his wife, they come into church. My dad sits, he always sits right where I can see him. He sits dead center. And I'm up there preaching, doing my thing. I get done. Dad comes over and gives me a kiss. He goes, thanks, Dad. Did you get anything out of it? He said, oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. He said, it was really good. He said, he shook my hand. He shook some money in my hand. He said, Pop, I said, this is necessary, man. He said, no. I'm the dad. I want to bless you. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. That I was 40-something years old. He was still asserting, I'm still your father. I don't know if they're going to give you an offering, and I don't know if that offer is going to be acceptable. But I'm going to make sure what you deserve. Now, because I relate to my dad that way, it's so easy for me to trust God for stuff. Because he always sees to it. My daughter was telling us, for those of you that weren't at prayer Friday night, my daughter was telling us, she said, I don't have a problem relating to God as my father. She said, because what God sometimes reminds me is God literally says to her, your dad told you to do what you were doing. That's how God talks to her. He said, why are you giving me pushback on this? If your dad told you to do what you were doing. See how in her life, God leans on the relationship she has with her dad. See, one of the things I teach people is that when you start hearing the voice of God was at first, when you first start hearing the voice of God, it will sound like the person most associate with God. So I told you a story of Eli and his sons. Well, if you go read the whole story, Samuel was a really small boy. And the voice of the Lord appeared to Samuel. Samuel gets up out of bed, runs in Eli's room, said, "Did you call me?" Eli said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So he hears the voice of the Lord again. Runs back again. "Did you call me?" "No, I didn't call you." Now, this shows you how disconnected Eli was. It took him 2 shots to realize that God's talking to him. So Eli tells him, he says, "If you hear it again, just say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant hears.'" But it all hinged on the person that he most related to. Are you hearing? So when I first started hearing the voice of God, when he came to comfort me, he sounded just like my mother. Whenever God would come to comfort me, whenever I was going through something, I was having anxiety, I could hear my mother's voice so clearly. And it was so soothing, and it would calm me down. Whenever he was getting me together, he sounded like Jim Boots. That was my dad's street name. Thug is before Christ name. I'm just trying to tell you, we have to pray for our culture, but we also have to speak truth to the culture. That what is going on is totally unacceptable. Let me tell you something. And this is going to sound a little sideways, but just bear with me. The one lady that I really gained a lot of respect for in all of this, that police shoot down in Dallas. Now, some of these others, one of them in Seattle, she said, "Man, we can replace buildings, but you're not thinking about the people whose lives are being wrecked." And that little autonomous zone, they're reporting that they've had calls for people who have been robbed, raped. The police can't get in to help these people. She said back on, "Now, we just don't want to use force because we can replace buildings. This isn't about replacing buildings. This is about you ensuring the liberties of those citizens." But that chief in Dallas, totally different. She said, "If they're peaceful, we encourage them to protest." She said, "They can protest." And she said, "But if they break the law, they will be arrested." They tested her. They tested her. They were hearing march out on the bridge and block the bridge. She said, she told them, "Many people told them, don't block that bridge. That's against the law." She warned them, "That's against the law." He marched their behind on that bridge, boxed them in, and arrested 650 people. I said, "Good for you. Because I'm all for justice. I'm also for righteousness. You can't allow one person's rights to be violated because another person wants to express something." Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your loving kindness. We ask, Lord, that your word would go deep into the heart of the hearer, that it would produce that for which you sent it forth, that it would produce life. Thank you for the life-changing force of your word, what your word means to us. While your heads are still bowed,